You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 24th, 2028, the latest official, and I caution with the word official, death toll from the coronavirus, 2,600. The latest official report of those made sick by it, 8,000. I'm sorry, 80,000. We don't really know what the numbers are, especially inside China and North Korea. We know that they've now had a report of 50 dead in Iran in just one city. 50. Italy is now dealing with a first major outbreak. That is Europe's first major outbreak, is it's in Italy, the largest outside Asia. Infected cases up to 152. And they're expecting the infections will surge in Italy and also South Korea and other places. And as a result, the concern is what it's doing to airline companies, travel groups, hotels, and so forth. It's hitting hard on Wall Street and businesses that will not be able to continue to get supplies they need from China or finished products. The Dow cratering almost 1,000 points today. Guru Warren Buffett says, do not buy nor sell simply based on coronavirus. But a lot of folks are saying, if they're not going to be able to get parts to continue manufacture, that company's going to take a hit. I'm taking my money now. You, of course, make your decision using your trusted advisor. There's a GOP legislator who has 19 co-sponsors in Georgia to bar sanctuary cities in Georgia. This legislator flew AH-64 attack helicopters in Afghanistan and Iraq. He said, my legislation is directly in line with President Trump's agenda. He said, it's extremely important for Georgia, not only for the safety of the immigrant community, but the safety of every Georgian. We cannot have sanctuary activities available for illegals. He said, the population of illegals nudges up crime rates, pushes down American wages, and boosts housing prices. They will probably get it passed in Georgia. Well, as I told you in the beginning of last hour, Harvey Weinstein, as I call him, convicted the movie mogul producer who forced himself on women repeatedly. He faced 5 different counts. He got found not guilty on 3 of them, but found guilty of a criminal sexual act against one woman in particular and rape in the first degree against another one, third degree, I should say. 2 guilty convictions. Between them, they carry up to 25 years in prison. He will be behind bars. Good. The Supreme Court agreeing today to decide if foster care agencies must be willing to place children with gay and lesbian couples. So this is another indication the court's ready to give religious objectors greater freedom to skirt laws with which they disagree. This involves a case out of Philadelphia. It's another in a series of challenges brought by Catholic and other religious groups and individuals objecting to same-sex marriage. The justice is already considering 3 major religious liberty cases this year. State funding for religious schools, the right to fire teachers despite employment discrimination laws, challenges to the Affordable Care Act's requirement employers have to offer free insurance coverage for contraceptives. Well, President Trump and the First Lady were in India. And in a cricket stadium in India, 110,000 showed up to shout their support for President Trump. Democrat presidential Michael Bloomberg claiming that 100 Americans are killed by guns every day. It's a lie. What he's trying to do is make you think there are 100 are killed every day by murder, most by suicide or an accident. And while we're speaking of making things up, Joe Biden is coming forward saying Russian bots have been attacking me on Facebook. He said they spent a lot of money to go after me. The Russians are coming after me because I'm the most likely person to beat Trump. What Kool-Aid is he drinking at this hour? But again, he's already got someone to blame. It's the Russians. If he doesn't get the nomination, it's the Russians. You're right.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deck don't like it, sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, a pandemic is when you have an infectious disease that is being consistently and sustained transmission from person to person through a wide range of regions, countries, and areas of the globe. So, for example, in China, it's an epidemic because it's concentrated in China. But once you start to get other countries in which you have sustained transmissibility, then you really have the makings of a pandemic. Pan meaning wide. It's widely distributed.
Those are the words of Dr. Anthony Fauci. He is the director of the National Institute for Infectious Diseases. As he said, an epidemic is widespread, but is contained within one area. Pandemic is when it begins to get outside that containment area, which is what we have going on right now. We have the coronavirus moving at a rapid pace. Is this maybe the one thing that will have the leftists who want to open our borders and say we don't need borders, you could just come across? Would this maybe be the one thing that they would say, oh, no. Nobody comes in until we check them for coronavirus. Could it be the left would be so far out to lunch and so hell-bent on destroying our country and our borders that they say, no, let everybody come in? We had some of those on a cruise ship, Americans, who were flown back into the U.S. in quarantine headquarters in Denver, I believe is where they were placed. President Trump was extremely upset when he heard they came in without his permission. Now, judging by everything, they've been handled properly. There's been no contaminant outbreak from them at this point, and they may not actually have it. They're just kind of watching and monitoring. I haven't seen an update on it. But if we can't convince the left that not having a border and secure borders could allow terrorists inside, do you think this would change our mind? And Dr. Fauci again. I mean, it's the question is, let me run through where we are first before we go back to him. As I reported in news and commentary a moment ago, we have something like 2,000 confirmed deaths, 80,000 confirmed illnesses or possibly afflicted. Those are numbers that are confirmed. It is not including numbers of what's happening inside China or North Korea. And if Iran is admitting out of one city in this month, just one city, they've had 50 die from coronavirus. They just reported a few hours before that 12 deaths. And now they're admitting 50. And these are dating back as far as the 13th of this month. That's, 10 days old information. Italy, as I'd pointed out, is the site of Europe's first major outbreak, the largest outside of Asia. The number of infected cases jumping to 152 compared to just 3 cases 10 days ago. You want to go to Europe? You want to go to Italy? You're going to find the tourists that are there wearing sanitary masks. One region has had 90 cases of coronavirus infections. In that region of Italy, they are closing schools and universities, sporting events canceled. They're doing what they can to stop the spread. They've already seen 110 cases in Milan, the financial district, and Venice. And they had numerous events scheduled throughout the country. Soccer matches. They don't like canceling a soccer match for anything, but they're doing it. Some movie theaters are closing their doors at this point. So you're seeing this happen in Europe and Italy. I mentioned to you that it's happening in Iran. We know it's happening in South Korea as well. 140 new cases in South Korea. That is apparently the third highest infected total behind China and Japan. But the numbers continue to accelerate. And today, the stock market opened to steep declines. Investors trying to deal with this coronavirus getting outside China. Some of the losses got cut back. The Dow climbed back up for a while, then declined another 700, moved back up. It's going to be like that. But when they see in Italy they're cutting short the Venice Carnival, which is a big event, quarantining 50,000, telling them not to leave their towns, and the other part of the global economic impact, Chinese manufacturing. Global companies, as I'd mentioned earlier, are fearing that they cannot get some of their goods delivered in time for production here or the basic material they need to do some of their own production here. If you've got global supply chains disrupted, travel and trade cut down dramatically, there is going to be a ripple effect that's going to probably be seen in the economic sectors for some time to come. But back to Dr. Fauci. An epidemic would be that contained within a one particular area, like in China, where it originated. But I just listed to you all the different places it's surfacing. The question for the doctor, Dr. Fauci, the director of the National Health Institute for Infectious Diseases, are we at the brink of a pandemic?
Clearly at the brink of that. And let me explain briefly why. because our fate is going to be determined by the ability of countries outside of China that have travel-related cases, and now they're starting to develop sustained transmission from person to person to person. So that right now, it's not just travel-related cases. So when you get countries like Japan and South Korea that have these cases that are person to person to person, without any real ability to point to where it came from, that's the makings of a pandemic. And if you have multiple countries like that, then the horse is out of the barn, and it's going to be very difficult to prevent more cases from coming here to our own country.
That is not at all hard to understand, is it? We are monitoring flights that are coming from some of the areas as they come in with passengers that are coming from some of the areas that might have been infected. But if the number is growing so rapidly, how do we know? How do we know that we're getting to those who are coming from an infected area? And maybe they came here direct from Britain, but previously they were in Italy and flew from Italy to Britain to take a flight back to the States. If you've got family, friends, or relatives in that part of the world, you have to be concerned. Our service members have to be concerned. Our military, our Pentagon obviously is. And I ask again, is this going to instill enough fear in the leftists to recognize we do have to have secure borders and control of who comes in, when, and only after they're properly vetted? And that means not only for terrorist activities now, but are they carrying some diseases? We've already seen, and it's been clearly documented across our southern border, numerous cases of flu, pneumonia, other diseases that pretty much have been eradicated in this nation coming across the border for those who were in Central America where they did not have vaccines, did not get it, were not properly treated, and now they're inside our country, and now they're sitting beside your child in school. They're here illegally. Do I have sympathy and empathy for those children? Yes. But I still say we need to protect our children, our family first. That's been the whole point. It is not to call out Latinos as the brown menace, as you would have the left would have you believe. We're talking about fellow human beings. And we are a country of immigrants. We were built on immigration. We are all for it legally. And if we don't have enough Border Patrol activities already underway, and if this disease pops up in our southern hemisphere, and what's to say it won't? How soon before it becomes to come across illegally on our southern border? It would take one plane load of folks from, let's say, China, that goes to one city, and then they disperse, and then some of them take flights into Brazil or Nicaragua or Mexico. And their intent is to eventually maybe do nothing wrong, but then they come in contact with others who are going to be trying to steal their way and filtrate across our southern border. They are now trying to isolate in Italy their zero case. What was a zero case? The first case in Italy. Will it yield anything? Will it help them decide what to do next? Because it's already multiplying so fast. This is not to be panic. It's not to alarm. It's the fact of being real. And Dr. Fauci says, we have the makings of a pandemic. I want you to hear his soundbite, the second one again, where he talked about, we are on the brink.
clearly at the brink of that. And let me explain briefly why. Because our fate is going to be determined by the ability of countries outside of China that have travel-related cases, and now they're starting to develop sustained transmission from person to person to person. So that right now, it's not just travel-related cases. So when you get countries like Japan and South Korea that have these cases that are person to person to person without any real ability to point to where it came from, that's the makings of a pandemic. And if you have multiple countries like that, then the horse is out of the barn and it's going to be very difficult to prevent more cases from coming here to our own country.
And that's the whole point. It's going to be difficult, and that is if they're coming through legally, where the airline crews are now being advised to monitor patients and, I mean, monitor any of your passengers. And the passengers from some areas are being screened closer, but those are the ones coming through legally. If they're coming up to the border illegally, how do we know that they have not been in contact with someone who's traveled from the other side of the globe into their region and exposed them? Person-to-person contact. Simple. A sneeze. You leave a little residue on some handrail. Is the left concerned now that we need better borders? Probably not. But, of course, you're not going to find them out in the climate of the unwashed, as they might refer to us. Update on Bernie Sanders when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Bernie Matthews, where did I go? Oh, I put Chris Matthews into my line about Bernie. My bad. It's a Monday. Give me a pass, please. Bernie Sanders is complaining about media coverage he's getting from Chris Matthews of MSNBC. He thinks that Matthews is trying to destroy him. That's a leftist media outlet. And so Bernie says, you got to be more supportive of me. We'll get into that in more detail in a few moments, and we'll be joined by Dr. Gerard Lamero on Bernie winning in Nevada and what this really means as we go into the next debate and then South Carolina. But back briefly on protection of this country and enforcing our borders. New Way Forward Act. That's a piece of legislation sponsored by House Democrats, 44 Democrats signing on. You know what that would do? It would basically allow any illegals deported to be flown back to the U.S. Bernie Sanders apparently is in support of it as well. As you would expect, Congresswoman Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Illinois Congressman Jesus Garcia, fly deported criminal illegals back into the city so every city becomes a sanctuary city. Any crime where the minimum sentence is less than 5 years, you can't kick the person out of the country at this point. They want to prohibit deportation of any criminal alien if they have a minimum sentence of less than 5 years. So, but when they are kicked out for auto theft, gun offenses, child abuse, rape, manslaughter, they can come back into the U.S. if they haven't done anything wrong at that point, additionally. In other words, illegals deported from this country get to come to the front of the line and come back into the U.S. This is their idea of what we need in this country. Now, you throw into that the coronavirus. You tell me, is that a good idea? I would say no. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Dr. Gerard Lamero and see if he can calm Bernie down, saying, hey, don't care about what Chris Matthews says about you. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Well, of course, with Sanders winning Nevada, I mean, that's a big victory for him over the weekend. And some of the polls indicate he has a shot now at winning South Carolina's primary this Saturday. We have another debate coming up tomorrow night. Is Sanders unstoppable at this point? My next guest had predicted that Sanders would end up carrying the Democrat banner months ago and even gave us a countdown of the Electoral College votes he expects Sanders to get against Donald Trump. Please welcome back again Dr. Gerard Lamero. Glad to have you back on board, sir.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
So let's once again quickly summarize your thoughts about Sanders and Trump and the Electoral College for this November.
Well, right now, my forecast hasn't changed in several months. It's Donald Trump, 367 electoral votes, Bernie Sanders, 171. Unless something really strange happens, I think those numbers look solid.
I would imagine that some of the Democrat candidates are hoping something really strange would happen.
Yeah, I know, and they're working on that. But by the way, if that were to happen, if they were to steal it away, so to speak, you know, change the rules until Bernie no longer gets nominated, then they're going to have to deal with something else. They're going to have to deal with a very upset group of highly charged people who are on his side. He has a small but vocal minority, and they try to twist the arms of the culinary workers in the state of Nevada before that caucus, and they turned a lot of people off. And these kind of strong arm tactics don't work in American politics.
Okay, so he came out of New Hampshire with a win. Now Nevada, we got another debate coming up. He didn't win outright in Iowa. And, of course, now we also have South Carolina coming up. How do you see that playing up and how the debate tomorrow night could push or hurt him?
Well, I think that he's got the momentum. Momentum means a lot, especially in this particular cycle. Because we have 60% of the delegates will be essentially given out to people within a month of now, because we have Super Tuesday is really super duper this year. And so we've got a lot of delegates coming up shortly. I would say, you know, Biden goes into South Carolina with a lead. I think there's a good probability that he will actually lose to Sanders, and that's going to finish Joe Biden off completely. And it's going to be down to Bernie Sanders versus Mike Bloomberg and a whole lot of money.
And you know, to that extent, before we got so many different directions I want to go, but let's go down the road with Biden quickly. He had he had said the other day, he said this was in an NBC interview before Iowa. He stressed the importance of South Carolina at that point, said, I think I'll do well in Nevada. I think I have a real firewall in South Carolina. Now, yesterday on CBS, he said, I never said firewall. He said, I'm going to do there and I'll do well, but I never said firewall. He did say firewall. He does know what's coming.
Yes, and I think he also knows he's finished. I don't think he has any chance of getting the nomination. I think if anyone does, it's going to be Bloomberg, because he's spending what is a record amount of money. We've never seen anyone spend the kind of money he's spending.
Half a billion dollars. Go ahead.
Right, but on the other hand, in general, when people see too much money coming in, they're turned off. And a lot of voters right now are getting very turned off by Bloomberg. They say, what does he stand for? He's anti-Trump, but he doesn't stand for anything, doesn't have much of a record, and the things we've heard about him aren't that good. And so I don't think he can even buy the – even if he spends double what he's already spent, I don't think he's going to be able to wrest the nomination for Bernie Sanders. The only hope – the people who oppose Bernie Sanders has is essentially changing the rules of the Democratic Party, but that's going to cause an uproar and just absolutely finish any chances they had of even coming close to Donald Trump.
Let me throw one more possibility into the mix other than changing the rules, an Obama endorsement.
Well, if Obama endorses, the question is who will he endorse? And if he does endorse someone, it might be his wife, because she's been positioned all along to run. However, there's an important thing coming, and that's a person named Durham in Connecticut. And I think he's going to be indicting people in the Obama administration in the next few months. I think between April and June, we're going to actually see indictments. Finally, after so many people have obviously done things wrong to hurt Donald Trump, we've got the Lindsey Graham investigation. He's going to name 71 different people and bring them before the committee and ask some really tough questions about the fake FISA attempts, you know, to get information on the Trump administration.
You see Obama staying out of it until they've got a clear candidate, and then maybe reluctantly endorsing one of them, the last one standing?
Well, I think he really would like to endorse his wife. I said that back in, I think it was 2018.
Yeah, I remember.
I think we said it even on your show January 2018. And I think that's who he'd like to endorse, but he's not going to be able to, because if she has all this, she's going to have the, if you will, the negative coattails of Obama because of all the people that he hired that did things that are untoward and possibly are indictable.
So
I think they're going to start showing that April to June of this year.
So last week, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, former Senate Majority Leader, Democrat, Nevada, trying to nudge center-left presidential candidates, basically saying, guys, we got to kind of get together here. Money's going to be running out. Candidates going to be dropping off. We have many out there who are not Bernie Sanders. They're moderates. Can they come up with something to find one and coalesce behind them? Of course, I'm sure Senator Warren would say, yeah, but stand behind me. And Klobuchar would say, no, behind me. And Buttigieg said, behind me. In other words, they're not doing it. If they're going to stand by anyone, they want to stand in their own lane and everybody fall in behind them. And Bernie just keeps plowing forward.
Right. But the money is going to tail off because people do not want to invest in campaigns that are going to lose. I mean, if you're going to hand out a lot of your dollars through different forms of ways of donating, you know, there's different ways you can donate legally and that, it turns out that you don't want to invest in people who are going to lose because, you know, it's a waste of time and money. So So I have a feeling it really does boil down to Bloomberg and Bernie, the two B's. I think Biden's gone. And I think the other people you mentioned, like Klobuchar, she just doesn't have a chance.
So you've got the mainstream media, which basically carries the water for the left, but we're seeing sure. some splits and fractures in there. MSNBC's Chris Matthews the other day compared Sanders winning Nevada, Bernie Sanders winning Nevada, to France falling to the Nazis.
Yeah, isn't that something? Well, I'll tell you, that's hyperbole, isn't it? I think, if you want to be honest, I believe the mainstream media would love Bernie to get the nomination and win. But the odd thing is that an awful lot of them have a certain amount of pragmatism, and they realize that Bernie Sanders is going to bring them down to a pretty solid defeat. And we're not talking just the defeat of the White House. We're talking the House is going to go down big as well.
You've got him on the weekend on 60 Minutes basically saying, hey, it's unfair to say Fidel did everything bad. He put education on the board for his people, aside from locking others up and jailing them and never to be seen again.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, you know, it appears that, and Trump has said this already, Trump called Bernie Sanders a communist. And when you look at the kind of people he supported Daniel Ortega, a communist in Nicaragua. He supported Fidel Castro. He honeymooned in Moscow and praised the communists there, all they've done. I mean, the guy, he's not just a socialist. I think he's a communist. And if you go back to Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, who together wrote the Communist Manifesto, those two people thought that communism and socialism were one and the same thing.
And yet he's trying to maybe step away from the C label. I don't call me a Democrat socialist. Well, they're not quite communist. Not quite communism.
Well, you know what? My new book, Real World Socialism, goes through the history of socialism, all the different variations, or many of the variations. There were quite a few variations. And people try to say all sorts of things. But in reality, they have certain things in common. And those certain things work out very poorly if you're a country. If you want freedom, it doesn't work. If you want economic prosperity, it doesn't work. If you want people being able to be innovative and start new businesses, it doesn't work. Socialism always leads, as I've said for years and years and years, to moral and economic bankruptcy. It not only bankrupts the country, it bankrupts the morality of the country, because the only way to get something done with socialism is bribery and corruption.
And I've got my very own copy signed by you, and I appreciate
yeah,
it, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate your comment. You're one of the opening page praise quotes, you know, people who said yep. nice things about my book.
Well, I appreciate being asked. You know, you're talking about, we're referring to Bernie talking about how Castro helped get people trained, educated. And I kind of had I looked at Ted Cruz the other day after that remark, said, it really makes a difference when those you murder at the firing squad can read and write, because that's about what he was doing. Yeah,
Cruz is right on the money. He's eloquent, he's smart, and I'm sure he's running for president, although there are others running, too, in 2024. They're already looking ahead, trying to figure out who's going to take Trump's job in the future.
That is a long ways. That is a long ways off, but you're looking at his oldest son as a dynasty?
Yes. Well, people are going to look to replace somebody as optimistic and as positive. And actually, Ivanka is looking strong, too. And Ted Cruz is definitely a candidate. And there are others as well. So it needs to play out a little bit more before I can predict the 2024 election.
Well, we got 2020 predicted. We just need to get there. And would you say we can, you know, I don't like people being just so sure they don't even bother going to vote. I mean,
you got to vote.
And it's not just the presidential, and I got to wrap you, but it's also congressional. That's important to us. Dr. Lamero, as always, we appreciate having you on board, sir.
It's great to be with you. You have an outstanding show, and you're known all over Missouri.
Thank you, sir. And beyond, we hope.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. Dr. Libero, we do appreciate it. Yeah, I always enjoy having him on board. And in fact, I get calls and emails from folks from time to time. When are you going to have him back? When are you going to have him back? Special story with Spielberg in a moment.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, Roger Stone should definitely have a new trial. He may still be guilty of perjury as he's been charged, but you can't have the lead juror, the forewoman, doing the things she did and being anti-Trump and questioning Stone's arrest to begin with, mocking it and so forth, and people that said, why did they need to send a full SWAT team? You can't have that attitude of somebody on the jury, and that was not the only person. The lead juror at his trial in a written questionnaire said, I'm not sure whether I posted online about the Russian investigation, but her Twitter feed shows she posted numerous times. I would say this regardless of who was convicted by this jury. This should be a retrial. So last week we told you the story about Steven Spielberg having to deal with a family crisis to some extent, but trying to act like, yeah, it's okay. His daughter, Michaela, 23 years old, had decided to become a porn star. She said, I'm a sexual creature, and I'm really tired not being able to capitalize on my body. So she launched an account as the OnlyFans app, on which viewers pay $15 a month to watch her. Now, when it was brought to the attention of Steven Spielberg and his wife, Kate Capshaw, we were told they're not upset, even intrigued. They want to be woke and kind of, you know, help support our daughter. Do they not understand at some point, as a parent, you're not supposed to be the friend, you're supposed to be the parent? But, of course, if your lifestyle indicates something's okay, it's pretty hard to tell your daughter don't go that direction. Now, I'm not saying Kate Capshaw nor Spielberg have been involved in any porn activity, but you got to look at the people you surround yourself with and the lifestyle you have. And that we were told the other day that they were not upset, even intrigued. One Spielberg source told the Post, Steven and Kate are nothing but supportive. But a family friend says, outwardly, Steven and Kate, who are the most evolved parents in the world and love their kids beyond all measure, have always been supportive of Michaela and try to understand her. Obviously, though, they're embarrassed by her sudden public admission of entry into the sex worker world. She has struggled with bipolar disorder and anxiety. Had admitted in the past she'd been bullied because of her weight and her last name. She spent time at a boarding school for troubled teens. That didn't help. And she claimed that as a child, she was groomed and abused by predators who were not in her family or even their circle of friends. And she's had struggles with alcoholism, apparently as recently as 2 years ago. She said, I don't want to make porn with another person, be a violation of boundaries and my relationship with a significant other, but I'm going to do porn video just featuring myself. The young woman, there are cries in the midst of all that for more help. And I think probably the best help would come from the parents, and at this point they want to take an attitude that it's okay, we'll support you. Of course, she's a grown woman. She can do what she wants at this point. And you can't hold parents responsible for someone who's 23 years old and makes a decision. You just can't. You could go back to the basics of how they were raised, what they were shown as values and so forth. But beyond that, when they reach 23, they're making their own decisions. I'm constantly reminded of a minister who used to tell me, there are cases where good children come out of bad families. And there are cases where bad kids come out of very good families. But each is the exception, not the rule. And apparently, after this was put up the other day, according to this family friend, Kate and Steven Spielberg begged their daughter to take the Instagram down and back off of some of the things that she wants to do. But she's a grown woman. I have to admit the other day I was almost joking about it, that what would you say if your child came to you and said, "Daddy, I want to be a porn star." I was wrong to take such a mocking attitude the more I look at this case of this young woman. I'm not a professional counselor of any type, but I look at what she's been through and some of her upbringing. Maybe there is a need for counseling of some type. As always, I appreciate you listening. I really appreciate you sharing our Facebook with those on your Facebook. As you can tell, the program changes on a day-to-day basis. We have a lot of good stuff, not all politics, not all the time. And I thank you for your support. Back tomorrow, same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.